Thank you, Pastor Juan, and good morning, Warehouse community. Like Pastor Juan said, we're the Vargases, and we're so happy to be here with you today. But before we get started, I just want a show of hands. How many of you are wearing a smartwatch right now? It's kind of hard to see you, but okay. And if you're brave, click the little heart button and shout out some of your heart rates right now. Calculating, okay. 74, okay. Anyone else? 73? 89, okay. Mine's 175 right now. So while you are all relaxing out there, just know I'm doing a sermon and getting a high-intensity workout at the same time. Actually, I should just start a workout right now, get credit for this. Okay.
Mine says, well, just jumped up to 100.
All right. I'm glad you're relaxed here. Good. All right, so this is my husband, Jordan.
And this is my wife, Lindsay. And we have been married a year and a half.
So we're basically marriage experts.
In our year and a half of marriage, we've been learning so much about each other. Some things that I've been learning about Lindsay leaves the cupboard doors open in our kitchen. She also can't stand having socks on at home, so we don't wear shoes in our apartment. And so as soon as she gets home, she takes off her shoes, she has to take off her socks. And wherever she takes off her socks, that's where they will stay. Also, Lindsay has to have white noise at bedtime. It's a non-negotiable. So that she has to have white noise.
And I've been learning some things about Jordan as well. He is not quiet when getting ready in the morning, from slamming cups on the counter, opening and closing the drawers at least 5 times each, and stomping around the house when I'm still sleeping. sometimes he'll wake up in the middle of the night and pop his knuckles loud enough to wake me up, and then he just calmly falls back asleep. And he refuses to share his last bite of food.
I strategically eat to save my best bite for last, so it's all good. Together, we're learning how to use what we have and where we are to serve God to the best of our abilities.
So we wanted to look at one person in particular, found in Mark 12, verse 41. And see how she used what she had. So Mark 12, 41 and 42 says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a few cents.
So some context here, those coins in their language were called lepta. So one coin was called one lepton, and one lepton was worth 1/8 of a cent. The collection boxes that they're referring to here were trumpet shaped. Because they were shaped that way, the coins echoed when they were dropped into the collection box. The rich would exchange larger coins for smaller coins of greater quantity, so that way it made more noise. More coins equals more noise equals a more generous gift, and for them, that meant it was more impressive.
We also have a slide of that, if you would be able to put the slide of the lepton up there. I don't know if you can see that.
So, widows during that time were bottom of the bottom, poorest of the poor. They had no source of generating income. So this widow in the story gave 2 lepta. She gave 1/4 of a penny.
So reading more into the story, we go to verses 43 and 44. So calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, But she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on.
She trusted God with everything she had. She believed God would take care of her needs because she knew she served God of infinite resources. Something to note here that it mentions she gave to, specifically to the treasury. The treasury was used as a place to donate for various ministries. One of those ministries included widows and orphans. So she was, even though she was included in that category, she was still saying, hey, this is something I'm passionate about. I want to give to this ministry. We often discuss this story in terms of tithe and offering, in terms of faith, and about trusting God. And that's not wrong. Like, those are all appropriate. Lindsay and I also felt preparing for today. We feel this story is actually a great example of ministry and of testimony. So Lindsay and I would like to share some of our testimony with you guys.
So Jordan and I both had wanted to be married much earlier in life, but we wake up grateful every day that our desires didn't come true. One, because if we would have been together, because we wouldn't have been together if we had, and two, because God had so much to teach us individually still.
And just some context that when we got married a year and a half ago, Lindsay was 29 and I was 32.
When Jordan and I moved into our first home together, we gathered the troops. Many of them are sitting up here in the front row. And we gathered them to help lug all of our stuff up the stairs to our new apartment. Our friend Arthur got to be one of the lucky guys to help carry up my hope chest. And I'll never forget his griping and grumbling about this huge, heavy wooden chest. Although, I do hope you forget because we're going to move again in a few months. Now, this hope chest has been passed down from my great-grandma to my grandma to my mom and now to me. And the idea of it was to store your things in it until you got married and then to take it with you. So you definitely hoped you got married. Like most little girls, I've had the idea of marriage in my head ever since I can remember, with ideas of when and how I would meet my knight in shining armor, and a list of a whole bunch of unrealistic must-haves. Much to my childhood fairy tale dream's dismay, I was not married by 22, did not get 5 years of marital bliss before, and then did not have 3 perfect and obedient kids by age 30. When I didn't find my husband at Union College, I was a little bummed, but there was still hope because I was going to Loma Linda University, or better known to some as Last Chance Ranch. Initially, I found myself being the loneliest I had ever felt, though. I had just come from being a student missionary in Bolivia for the previous school year, where I'd had the hardest yet best year of my life, unplugged from the outside world, and I felt so connected to God. But eventually I did find friends. However, unfortunately, I surrounded myself with people and relationships that did not pull me closer to God. And I found myself going to church less and less, and sooner than later, I found myself betraying my own values and beliefs for the sake of fitting in. Needless to say, Last Chance Ranch did not work out for me. But as discouraging as that was, never fear, because single Adventist men were sure to be found in flourishing Florida, right? It was the year of 2020 when the world shut down due to COVID-19. Normally, getting a job would have been really easy, because in healthcare, people are desperate to hire you. But 2020 was a different story. Even so, I decided I was moving to Florida. I started applying for any job I could find near Orlando, but I wasn't hearing anything back. I was getting discouraged when it dawned on me that all of this had been my idea and about me and what I wanted. I hadn't even consulted God on this. So I prayed and surrendered my plans to Him. I was like, God, Florida is all of my idea. But if you don't want me to go to Florida, then please open up another door, even if I have to go back to somewhere with winter. The next morning, I woke up to a couple of phone calls and emails from hiring managers. It was like God just wanted me to give him my plans. I realized God truly wants to fulfill our desires. He didn't necessarily want to force me to go through another Midwest winter, but he did want me to give him my desires. And moving to Florida has been one of the greatest blessings in my life. Jordan and I became friends, and even though I knew he was the one for me almost immediately, it took him some time to realize this, but I am so thankful it did, because God had still had some work to do in both of us. During my years of singleness, I wish I could say I always honored God and patiently waited for him, for his timing throughout. I wish I could say I understood what Paul was saying when he said, it is better to be single than to marry. But the truth is, there were some really hard times. I believed with all my heart that God wanted good things for me, and that he heard me, and that someday I would understand his plans. But there were times when I doubted God. Times when I did things my own way, because clearly God wasn't helping me in this area of my life. There are choices I made because I wanted to do things my way and in my time. And looking back in my time in California, I wish I had been the person to bring God up in our conversations and to be the light that I had just been prepared the year prior to do, but I had wanted to fit in. And now I realize that after all this time, God has been preparing me. I used to be so filled with pride and judgment and filled with expectations, but Jesus has changed me and molded me. He has taught and is teaching me that his timing is the best timing. And in the waiting period, he has work for me to do. And I am learning that no matter what season I am in, I better not waste it. So being in Orlando, I have been surrounded with a godly community, and I've been able to let God use me. Before Jordan and I were together, a couple of friends, Lau and I, and then later Ashley, have been able to start a home church that meets monthly, and we have seen God work in our friends and help grow our community outside of church. And when Jordan and I were just friends, he had encouraged me to talk to Pastor Mark about helping with high schoolers, as I had found a passion for high school ministry beginning with teen camp at Camp Calacqua, and then working with them in Bolivia. Pastor Mark told me he had been praying for a woman to help start a women's group for the high schoolers. Soon, Ashley Shuley joined me in the mission, and now we have a group of over 20 girls that meet twice a month to talk about being daughters of God and fostering that relationship. Since starting that group 4 years ago, we've now named ourselves the Salty Sisters, and we've paired up each of the high schoolers with a young adult spiritual mentor. When I let go of my own desires and expectations, I began to see just what God could do, and it is more than I ever thought possible. My hope chest as a child may have been filled with many hopes and expectations of being married one day, but today I want to fill that chest with hopes and desire to spread the gospel, to help my community around me, and to dream of what God can do through me. Today I must constantly ask myself, what is in my hope chest? How many lepta do I have inside? Am I going to hang on to it with all of my might? Or am I going to let go and let God use what I have? I am still learning to let God use me and to trust his timing, but I am so grateful for his patience and grace with me. And I am so thankful for this community as well that encourages me to live out the gospel.
Thank you, babe. So I was raised Adventist, but I grew up outside of larger Adventist circles. When I went to public schools my entire life and went to a very, very small Adventist church. I played football and basketball in high school and was known as the good Christian kid. Really, I wasn't strong in my faith. I was just well-behaved. Interestingly, in a school of about 1,200 students, there were plenty of Christians, But my brothers and I were three of just four Adventist students in the entire school. I distinctly remember countless times I chose not to be courageous enough to share my faith. I would rationalize it. I would be bold about my faith later. Later, when I had more respect and was more popular for being a star on the football and basketball teams. Later, when I was playing college football or college basketball, or playing in the NFL or NBA, doing national TV interviews for refusing to play on Saturdays. Later, when I had more clout. Later, when I had more influence. That's when I would be bold about my faith. Later. Clearly, none of those things ever happened. But what did happen was I developed a heart for high school and public school ministry. First as a football and basketball coach, then as a teacher, then in church, and now also partnering with Volusia County Schools Mentoring Program. But when it came to sharing my faith, really, I was just unsure of myself. I was oozing with low self-esteem. Ever since high school, I was often told I was charismatic and a hard worker. Honestly, I never really appreciated being called either of those things. When people would call me charismatic, it made me feel like a snake oil salesman. All words, no substance. I felt that way because when people called me friendly and charismatic, my first thoughts were, no one ever calls me smart. No one ever calls me creative or artistic or bright. When people called me a hard worker, my first thoughts were, I have to be a hard worker. Everyone else is so much better than me at everything. My next thoughts were, no one ever calls me a good basketball player or a good football player. No one ever calls me mentally tough or savvy or witty. I was so busy letting the enemy distract my thoughts that I didn't even acknowledge the gifts that God gave me, even when people were point blank telling me what those gifts were. Thankfully, ultimately, God guided me towards deciding to live a life of ministry, saying to myself, what do I have now? And what if I knew that nothing else about my circumstance would ever change? God loved me into right relationship with him. He loved me through my incredible community of family and friends into having the courage to unapologetically be who he made me to be. To unapologetically use my circumstances and opportunities I have right in front of me in the moment. To be unapologetically friendly, have unapologetically deep discussions, be unapologetically involved, engaged, and intentional. To unapologetically tell the men in my life, I love you, because they may need to hear it just as much as my mother, my brothers, or my wife. Through experiencing God's love and grace, I decided to use the gifts he gave me to use my lepta. Here's the thing. When I began doing that, I felt no less vulnerable. I felt more vulnerable. But I feel so much more fulfilled. I found my lepta. They used to feel like two small coins. One coin called charismatic, the other coin called hard work. They never felt like they were enough. Now, I feel fulfilled, even wealthy. And I definitely feel like my lepta are enough. I planned to use my 20s to get married and start a family. God planned to use my 20s to prepare me for a life of ministry, one that would then later involve Lindsay, one that I otherwise wouldn't have been prepared for. I am so thankful that God is on his timeline and not mine, and that he gave me my lepta and that I didn't choose mine.
That's good. Thank you, Jordan. I wholeheartedly believe our marriage is so much better because we've let God do work in our lives and change us. And now in our marriage, we are able to challenge each other.
She challenges me to be more generous and more selfless.
He challenges me to be more empathetic and see other points of view, and to be diligent in reading the Bible and praying every morning.
Together, we're able to continue to help mold each other, and now we can minister to others differently than when we were single. Right now, that looks like cheering on our friends in their marriages, being active in our home church, and giving to ministries that we're both passionate about.
In 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, okay, there we go. It says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Then do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen.
Thinking back to that story of the widow, she didn't wait until later. She gave what she had. And her story, literally her lepta, became a testimony in the greatest book ever written. Maybe you're like me and are tempted with thoughts like, when I am this or when I have that, then I will be that or I'll do this. Speaking vulnerably, I still have those thoughts more often than I'm proud to admit. But God is not that small. He has infinite resources. He doesn't need to show us his resources before we use our lepta. He doesn't need me or you to have enough money, enough time, enough courage, enough beauty, enough strength, enough purity. And he doesn't need you to have a spouse or to be in a relationship. The only thing he needs you to be is willing.
We so often live in a scarcity mindset. If I give too much of this or that, I won't have enough for myself. But what would it look like if we lived like the widow with two lepta? How many people would we reach if we trusted God with every fiber of our being by letting him be in control of our resources? So I ask you today, what are your lepta? And what lepta are you holding on to?
Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for giving us all gifts. Thank you so much for the reminder in your word that you have given us gifts. Help us to recognize the lepta that you've given us. Help us to listen to others when they share with us and to us the gifts that you've blessed us with. Give us the courage to use them in your timing and not in ours. And please continue to surround us with people who will continue to remind us of our gifts and who will support us. In your name I pray. Amen.